Here we go. Baruch Hashem, Mr. Mesquire is here, Mayor is here, so we can actually learn something. Pasik, Perik Yidal, Pasik, hey, Ayin, Itzvi, V'yachmur, V'yakoy, V'yishayim. Five animals. Usoy, V'zomer, seven animals. Ayin, Itzvi, V'yachmur, V'yakoy, V'yishayim, Usoy, V'zomer. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are seven animals. Seven animals in which the Pasik says that you're allowed to eat. It's not only seven. Let's see, it's in this Pasik, it's seven. On the previous pasuk it says Zoy Sever Shar Torchelu Shar, that's three, so it's ten.
Ten animals. That's right. I wanted to say this over the morning today. The Torah lists exactly ten animals that you're allowed to eat, which means everything else you can't eat. Zoy Sever Shar Torchelu Shar, a shar and ox, then a Sei Kisavim, the Sei Izim. That's three. That's seven. The grand total is seven plus three equals ten. Why ten animals? Keneged, and this is not a joke. This is what it says in the Balaturim. It says in the Balaturim, it's keneged the aser se dibros. Each one of the dibros is matir, another type of animal. It says in the Gemara that an am ha'aretz is not allowed to eat meat. Why? Because meat has the koyach to cause a person to, you know, it's like, I think it's called a nootropic. A nootropic, you take a certain type of medicine and it opens up the mind. It opens up the mind, it expands the mind. And a person is filled with ideas. You wonder, what are these Democrats? What are they eating? What kind of food are they eating? Filling up their head, causing them to have these very bizarre ideas on what goes on in this world. So it says this is a very interesting idea. It says that therefore goy is not allowed to eat meat. Meat has a quality in the whatever, however this works, the chemical interaction with the person's brain, it opens up their mind. So if a person has Torah, so the Torah properly directs the openness of the mind towards a good purpose. But if a person does not have Torah, he's not imbued with Torah, then it's dangerous. Then his mind, he can do strange things. So each one of the Aseres HaDibros has basically allowed us to channel the power and the influence that meat brings upon a person. Okay, it's not a coincidence that there are in this pasuk exactly 10 animals. Okay, so let's look at something in the Rashi. Rashi in the pasuk Gimel and Dalet. Gimel and Dalet, it says, Hey, Ayel Utsvi Yachmor. Ayel Utsvi and a Yachmor. Now, by the way, these are chayos. These are wild animals. Lamanu shachayu b'chlal behema, v'lamanu shavehema v'chayu mitimeya, merubim minato hera, shabuchol mokum perish esamuat. Okay, so Rashi here says we have two chidush. Number one, that the pasuk begins by telling us zos habehema asher techelu, and then enumerates three animals and seven wild animals, chayos. What do you mean? A chay is not a behema. Yes, it is. But here we learn in this pasuk, achaya is included in the concept of achaya. Achaya is included in a behema. Let me just turn this machine on. So I can see Mayor. I want to be able to see Mayor better. Now I can see what Mayor is doing better, much better. Get to see Mayor. Mayor doesn't realize that when you call the telephone, the technology that I have allows me to see him even when he calls on the telephone. Even though he's not using a smartphone, Zoom, but through the telephone, the technology is there. I can actually see exactly what he's doing. He thinks he's hiding. I wonder if he's listening. Okay, here we learn that a achaya b'chlal behema, v'lamanu shabehema v'chay tmeh b'rub, there are more non-kosher animals than kosher animals, and that is why the Torah specifies kosher. The Torah is teaching you a lesson
that a person should be mekatzer in his dibur. Should not talk a lot. Talk less is more. Rabbi Yehuda was the Rosh HaMedabrim. Okay, he was appointed. It was a government position. Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda was this? I'm not sure which Rabbi Yehuda, but Eloy. He was the Rosh HaMedabrim. He was appointed to be, whenever there was a public event, the government appointed him to be the speaker for the Jewish people. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda was Mekatzer. Rabbi Yehuda is a joke, but it's not a joke. It's a joke and it's not a joke. Rabbi Yehuda hoyenoisein bohem simonim tatzach adash biachav. Instead of saying the words dam tzardeya kinim orov dever shrin borod choyshech borod arbe choyshech bakas b'chayres, so he said we don't have to go and say that out. Come on, let's get this over with. Datzach adash biachav. He was mekatzer. Everyone loves a speaker who is quick, swift, short, right? Kiss. Keep it short, stupid. You know that concept? A person is a speaker and they hand them a piece of paper that says kiss, K-I-S-S. Keep it short, stupid. That's not a nice thing to say, but the Torah here is being megala by telling us the kosher animals and not telling us that I'm kosher animals. It's telling us it's being makatzer. When it comes to birds, it's just the opposite. The Torah enumerates the non-kosher birds to indicate that the kosher birds are more numerous. Okay, now next, the Akko, Miturgum Ya'alo, Ya'ale Sela. Who, I don't know what this word is. This is a Ashtar book. I don't know what this is. Uso'o, I don't know what this is. To Hayar, Blosh Narambi, I don't know what that is. What is a Zomer? Some want to say a Zomer is a giraffe. Why is a Zomer a giraffe? Because it has a very big neck, a very long neck. And it has a very long neck. You would think if you have a very long neck, you would be able to sing very beautifully. The irony is that the zomer can't sing for its life. Giraffes, they have no. Their voice is I think it's worse than the average animal. The sounds that a giraffe makes are very pathetic. Therefore it's a loshon sage nohar. That this animal cannot sing. So we call it zemer. Zemer means a song. It's called a zemer loshon sage nor. It can't sing. Why can't it sing? So I don't know. I guess you would say that its neck is too long. If it's too long, it has a harder time breathing to get air out to sing. Is that the pshat? Maybe it's the pshat. I don't know. Are there any studies amongst human beings? Everyone has a different size neck. Some people have a taller neck. How many inches is the average size of a neck of a human being? It's not one size fits all. Certainly, there must be different sizes. People come in different shapes, colors. There's black, there's yellow, there's white. What other colors are there? People come in different colors, and they come in different shapes. There's thin, there's large, extra large, there's tall, short, extra tall, extra short, all different sizes. Likewise, the neck of an animal, every animal has a difference, every of a human being, some are larger, some are smaller. Are there any studies done in the world of science to find a correlation between the size of a person's neck and its musical capabilities? I don't say musical, his ability to sing, his ability to carry a tune, melody, ability to, you know, to be a chaisnish, whatever. I don't know the correct vocabularies for these things. I don't know. But a zomer is a giraffe. A giraffe has a very long neck, so you would think that a very long neck would be able to sing very beautifully. It can't sing. So it's a euphemism, we call it a zomer. Now, by the way,
I think the reason a giraffe can't sing is because it has a very narrow neck and it has a very small lungs. So it can't get the
air out. Now, Slifkin. Okay, Ayin Hanami. Slifkin, though, if I remember correctly, he holds that a giraffe is not a zomer. He says, he has a mamash, a whole book on this. He holds that, not a whole book, but he has a major chunk of one of his books on this, is that he holds that the creature called the Re'em. There's a creature called a Re'em. It's a very mystical creature. Really, it's not even a real creature. It's really a, like a mystical creature, like the Nesher. The Nesher, there's no bird that's really a Nesher. Nesher is really more of a mystical creature. So we try to find an example in this world of what a Nesher is. So we say it's an eagle. It can't possibly be an eagle for different reasons. Some say it's a vulture, but even a vulture, it's like a Nesher is more of a mystical type of bird. We think we know everything, so we call it an eagle. It can't be an eagle. We give it a dogma. Our article calls it an eagle. It's impossible for, that's mamish impossible for you. Say a vulture.
It's not an eagle. Zomir is a nightingale.
What's a nightingale? What's a nightingale?
Zomir is a nightingale. It's a bird.
Zomir? Okay, it's not, that's not this, that's not part of the list over here. But he's the, now amongst the birds, the Nesher is, again, like we say, it's a mystical creature, and we try to give a dogma of it, and we call it an eagle or a vulture. Likewise, in the animal kingdom, there is a mystical creature that's not necessarily even real, at least in the physical world, called a Re'em. And we want to give a Re'em an example, the closest animal in this world that we know of as an example of a Re'em. And Slifkin, Rabbi Slifkin, he's one of the big authorities on this, his research has led him to conclude that a giraffe is the Re'em. The Re'em of the Torah that we talk about in the Gemara is a giraffe. Now, if that's the case, it can't be the Zomer. Meir, your phone is making noises. Okay, now there's another thing about the giraffe. The giraffe l'chaira is a kosher animal. To be a kosher animal, you need to have two simonim, split hoofs, and malasker. Now, I don't understand this. I'm a little bit lost over here. The Torah is listing you all of the kosher animals. So how can there be any other animal that's besides that? How could there be any other animal? If the Torah lists you the 10 animals that are kosher, so why then does the Torah need to give you the simonim? I'm missing something over here. The Torah lists 10 animals. And Rashi says the reason why we list is these are the only 10 animals. And then it gives you the simonim. So what does that mean? It means that that any animal that has the two simonim, that it's malasker, my first is parasa, is a subcategory of these 10 animals? I guess so. I guess these 10 animals are the species. The species, and these species have many branches. They have many branches. And if you will find a buffalo, for example, a buffalo, l'chaira, is not listed, it's not part of the list. There are 10 animals here. So where does a buffalo come into the list? A giraffe. Let's say that Slifkin is correct. That a giraffe, that the word zomer is a re'em. What the Gemara says, a re'em. So then what about a giraffe? So a giraffe is not kosher, but the giraffe has split hoofs and it regurgitates its food. So it must then be that a giraffe is a subcategory of one of the animals listed here in the Pasuk. A buffalo is a subcategory of one of the 10 animals listed in the Pasuk. Now, a question from Mayor Appledorf. If a giraffe is a kosher animal, where do you do the act of shechita on the giraffe? You do the act of shechita on the neck. Where on the neck do you do the act of shechita on a giraffe? A giraffe has a very tall neck. What do you do the shechita? The answer is
you do it at an angle.
You do it anywhere, anywhere. You have a very large area to do it on. It doesn't make a difference. If it's true that it's a kosher animal, you need to do it on the tzavar. You have a very large area to do it on the tzavar. Okay. Now, that being said, what is the rash? So we did all the rash. Let's see what he says over here in the Targum. We're talking about the Pasuk, Pasuk Hey. He lists you all the animals over here. Ayla, Vitavia, Viachmura, Viala, Vireima. And then it says Visur, Bala, Videitza. No clue. Not even the slightest clue what the Targum is saying over here. And over here, in the Sefer, let me read you a little bit over in the Sefer. He goes through some of these things over here. Shumin Chai, let's see over here. I'm just running through my skinning of my eye what he says over here. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying over here. Wasn't very good. Mech. Shem Rachel Yasso Shanikra Reim Loshen Reimimus. Fein Royal of Lacha Kasiv. Our Mashal Gorim Reim, who mean the Hemel Choldav, Rachel Rosav, Dummer, Indon Kisui, Nimzak Loshen Targum. Okay, he focuses on the word Reim. One thing over here, take a look over here, look at the Targum over here, says, Zizash of the Chelu, Shar Seychis, Saviv, Seizim, Alto Yachmur. Targum says, Ayla, okay, that we know, the Ayla Vitavia, that's a deer. And then it says the Yachmur, what's the Yachmur? I don't know, the Yachmura. Then Akoi is the Yala. And then Vidishon. That's the interesting, Vidishon. Okay, so the Targum translates the biblical word dishon as with the word reima. Now I told you there's an animal called a reim, and Solifkin says a reim is a giraffe. Here in the commentary he writes kavanaso horeim vu gadol meod kedisa bezvachim. The Gemara says that the creature called the reim is very, very large. I think which was very, very tall. Baba Basha, Vikasa, Vriben, Ben Ganach, Sheinu Rachak Etz Loi, Shenikru Reim Loshen Reimimus. The reason why it's called Reim is because it's Reimimus, the Mida of Reimimus, which means it's very, very tall. The Einu Reim Loshen, the Sibiyov, this animal doesn't work. The Reim does not go to work. It's in Koilo. It's not, there's nothing that you can do with it. You can't domesticate it. You can't go hitch it to a plow. There's nothing you can do with this animal. And it has a unique horns. A giraffe has two little horns. Vidami Mikra, fine. That's it. Anything else? What relates to the Surbola. And then he says, Usa'o. In the plastic it says animal number 9 is called a sa'o, and the Targum translates it as the word the surbola, tar, hayar. Yablosh narami, vulakarezaka aruch, sheesh yar, sheshmoikach. What does this mean? I don't know what this means. I read Jaribukul, Pirachash, Shar Halawanan, Shulagam Yarbukul, Kursha, Mikar, Hair, Alkaka, Makaris, and Mission Hilkos, Hilkos, Balo Itur, Shatura, Babala, Motur, Bara. I don't know what he's talking about. Okay. Yesh machlokes im shorabar min shorabar im chayo or min behima. That's talking yesh machlokes min yushami lubavli. Okay, so I think over here is coming with make mention of here is the val iter perish turbola turbara. The turbola. Look at that. It was kedai to come tonight for this. In a Atomus Milin Vishara Yoshusa Avlasha Kilna Harma Urshusa. At the end of Atomus, what are we talking about? What are we getting the conversation about? The Tar, the Shor Habar. That La'asilavo, there's going to be a sport between the Leviathan, the fish, and the Shor, and the axe, Shor Habar. And may we discuss today that a fish is only kosher if the way it dies is by coming out of the water.
If you take a fish out of the water and you smash its head and it dies, or you go into the water and you kill it, it's not kosher. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not kosher, this is not lahalacha. Shaloika halacha, but this is an idea that we learned today. Incredible chiddush. Is the same
way. What happens if you're in the water and you swallow a fish?
You eat Eva Menachai. According to what we learned today, which I told you is not lahalacha. Right,
one
shita.
One shita doesn't make sense.
It's Eva Menachai. It's Eva Menachai.
If you're swimming in the water and you open your mouth to swallow a fish,
Eva Menachai.
So
it's like you ate not kosher.
I don't think so.
I told you, we don't pass it like this, so it doesn't make a difference. It's like, but it, according to Amandi Yavar. So my question to you is, honestly, it says it's going to be a Su'udas Livyosan. Hashem's going to serve the Tzadik L'Asalavoi from the shore Habor and from the fish Livyosan. These two creatures are going to have a battle between each other. And they're going to kill each other. So, and the Gemara has this whole discussion on how, why the shore Habor, bar, this axe, is going to be killed by the fin. Is it the fin or the scale? I don't know which one. The fin is going to slice it. In the battle, it's going to slice its neck. And Hashem is going to issue a psak halach that it's a kosher shechita. That the slicing of the neck of the shor habar by the fin of the fish will render it a kosher shechita. But my question is, what about the fish? How did the fish die? Did the fish die because the fish was killed? Or did the fish die because it was lacking water? Well, the fish seemed to be going pretty strong as it was going in this battle between the fish and the shor habar.
No problem. The shor habar takes the fish out of the water, and the fish is still flopping. And while he's flopping, he shechs the cow.
Could be. But what we learned today, the only way a fish is kosher is if a fish dies due to a lack of water.
Outside the water, but it still has enough strength to jump around.
Could very well be. So here, I never knew this until today because we learned the word.
What happened? What's that halacha if your sheikh is standing with a knife and the cow falls on the knife and gets shafted?
It's no good. You have to feel it. It's very complicated. Let's say today you invented. Today I'm showing technology. There's no question that today there's technology available where you can put an animal in a harness, and you can have a robot do the shechita, and you can probably put sensors into the knife, into whatever you're doing, to detect with utter clarity if there was any if it was a shechita that was done like a human being, smooth, without any pressure, and it dies from the natural cutting of the knife. So what would the halacha be? There's a whole halacha of a child does shechita. Do you trust a child?
So why should it be worth?
You're right. It shouldn't. They never had technology. Today, there is no doubt in my mind that there is technology available where you can slaughter an animal better than a human being. An animal can be put in a harness or a bird in a harness, and a robot, artificial intelligence, can do the shechita, and we can see with various sensors that are foolproof that the smoothness of the shechita is being done exactly the way Chazal wanted it to be done by a human being, with no pressure, due to the sharpness of the knife, with no delay. So what would the halacha be? Would it be a kosher shechita? Until now, it's much of the Gemara that technically if a goy does shechita, it's kosher. The only reason why we don't accept it, it's not because it's not vadai treif. We just don't know. It's because we don't know. We can't believe him. He's going to tell us that he did the shechita, and we're going to watch him, we're going to witness. No matter how much you look and how much you believe the goy, you don't really know. It's a certain sensation. When a person is cutting, you cut a piece of meat, you cut a piece of bread, a challah. When you're doing an act of cutting, you have a sensation, you feel the slicing, you can feel it. You feel how it's, the sharpness of the knife, how much pressure you're exerting, the texture of what you're cutting. Everyone understands this. When you do an act of cutting, you have a sensation that no one else can possibly have. And you can attempt to describe this sensation to someone else. You can talk all you want. No one can tell you you're right. We trust you. We just basically, if you tell us that the slicing was done without any issue, smoothly, with no extra pressure that's abnormal and no delay, we believe you. A guy, we can't believe. Oh, but we can watch him do the act of cutting. Yeah, you can watch all you want, but we all understand you cannot have that sensation. And only the person that's doing the act of cutting has that sensation. So what about today? Today, in the 21st century, when there are certainly devices which can basically pick up, we can have a person, a Jew, do 1,000 shkitas, and the machines will monitor with all the different sensors, the pressure, the speed, the smoothness, and then we can take a non-Jew, or we can take a robot, and put on the sensors onto all of the devices, and we can watch, and we can determine with absolute clarity if it was done properly. What would the halacha be? I do not know what the halacha would be. Probably would be, a machlekes apoyskim. Someone said, b'diavad it's good, b'chatchil it's not, you need a person, who knows what the halacha would be? I don't know what the halacha would be. But over here, how do we get into this over here? I don't remember we got into this. Okay, uto'o. According to the parish of the Targum, the word to'o is what's called a turbola. Turbola is the shor habar. This is the wild animal that is going to be served to the tzaddikim le'osilavo by the su'udas liviyosan. There's going to be a battle between the liviyosan, the fish, and the shor habar, the wild ox. What kind of animal is the wild ox? Define it. What is it, a kosher animal? Yes, it is. It's listed here in this very pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, when the Torah enumerates the 10 kosher animals, it lists animal number 9 as the se'o, and the Targum translates the word se'o as the tur bala. A tur is an axe. Bala, over here in the commentator, he writes, it's the same thing as bar. Bala, bala, and whatever it means the same thing, which means the wild axe. That is called the so'o. And this is what will be served to the tzaddikim l'aslova, the sudas l'viyasan. So let me know what's over here. It's very interesting. The subala, over here in the commentary, subala tor hayar, the axe of the forest. The lashon, I don't know what this means. Yar b'loshon arami ulai kavnaso ki aruch sheyesh yar b'shesh mekach. I don't know what that means. Valo iter perish atura bara kimo tura below the lamid kimo tura bara shor shel chutz tar midbari an axe from the desert kidas Rabbi Yosef b'sefiv v'tayim b'yosef b'nuzil the mishnah yesh machloi this from shor habar min chaya or min behema. Okay, unbelievable. So we're really about that animal. Now next, the deitza. The last animal is the zomer. The Targum translates zomer as the word deitza. What is a deitza? So that's the Mishnah Targum shall yoel. What's a yoel? It's like a antelope. Like a deer. Something very similar to a deer. Not like what the Veld says. The Veld says that it's a giraffe. I told you it's not a mastav, it's a giraffe. A re'em is a giraffe. And that would be the dishon. So if anyone asks you, where is there a giraffe in the pasuk? If you were to stop the average person on the street and ask them in this list, enumeration of the 10 animals that are kosher, which one is the giraffe? The average person will tell you it's the zomer. But that's not necessarily correct. The giraffe is the re'em, which is the dishon. The Dishon is translated by the Targum as the as the Ramah, as the Ramah, and the Ramah, no, and the Ramah is the same as the Ra'im, which is very tall, a long neck, and has horns on the top. Now the last one over here is the Zomer, and he says the Deitza. I don't know what that means. Ditsa. What does ditsa mean? Ditsa means joy. So this creature is a joyous creature. Would you call a giraffe a joyous creature? I don't know. I think they're pretty violent. If I'm not mistaken, I once saw a YouTube video. The giraffes can be very, very dangerous creatures. It's a joyous creature? Not necessarily. Okay, so what did we learn over here today? We learned over here so far. For 8 o'clock, we learned over here about the 10 animals. We learned over here there are 10 animals that correspond to the 10 Aseres Adibres. So you saw it. A goy is not allowed to eat meat. They don't listen anyway to us. Because when you eat meat, it opens up your mind. And when your mind is opened up, it needs to be channeled. The energy of opening up your mind needs to be channeled in the right direction. An Am Haaretz, because an Am Haaretz, a person that's not any discipline, it's dangerous when he expands his mind. He opens up his mind, who knows what he'll do. Only Klal Yisrael, that have been given the Aseres Adibres. Each one of the Aseres Adibres is a mitzvah which gives the person the ability to channel the energy that comes by eating one of these types of meat from these 10 animals. Three of them seem to be animals, seven seem to be chayos. Rashi says a chaya is bichlal behema. We really don't know what these animals are. We know there's a shar, an ox that we know. There is kisavim, sheep, and there is seizim, goats. And then there are seven chayes, an ayol. What is an ayol? Hind? As they pronounce it? Hind? Hind? Hind, right? Hind?
Hind.
A tzvi is a deer. Yachmor, what's a yachmor? I don't know. Akoi, what's an Akko? I don't know. Dishon is the Re'im. The Re'im, what is the Re'im? It's a mystical creature. Some say it's the giraffe. What is the So'o? This is the most important animal. This is what they're going to feed us, feed those merit, the tzaddikim, l'asalavai, at the Studas Leviosan. It's going to be slaughtered by the fish. The Tura Bola is the same as a Tur Bar, a wild ox, the Shor Habar. That appears in the Akdamos and Shavuos. And then it says the Zomer. What's the Zomer? The Velt says it's a giraffe because it has a very long neck and you would expect it to sing, but it doesn't. So it's a Lashon Saginar. And here it says Lashon of Ditsa. Gilarina Ditsa v'chedva. It's a joyous animal. All right? That's what we learned today. I hope it was worth coming. I learned something new. Thank you very much for coming.
Yeah, I'll teach you something new. A guy came to his rub. He had a very deep problem. He says, I have this big cheshik to live forever. My Rabbi, what should I do?
A cheshik for what? A cheshik for what?
I want to live forever.
You want to live forever, yeah.
Get married.
Why? Why is he
forever? I'll live forever. He says, no, but your cheshik will disappear.